Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and okay, I'll admit it. I am a sucker for The Muppets Christmas Carol, and there's one scene in the movie that we thought would be perfect to help introduce this next conversation. So listen to the marvelous Miss Piggy as Emily Cratchit at home cooking at the Cratchit hearth.
Peter, do not stop turning that spit. That is the whole secret of a properly roasted goose.
It smells so good, Mother.
It does, doesn't it?
Mother, Mother, Mother! I thought you said we couldn't eat the chestnuts until Father and Tiny Tim get home.
Oh, I wasn't eating them. I was merely checking them to see if they were not burnt. It's a chef's thing, dear. And do not shout, Bettina.
Yes, it's a chef's thing. But really, I wanted to play that clip because holiday food is more of a family thing, as Miss Piggy and her little piglets there described. Holiday food and our loved ones all coming together over a table full of fabulous food and traditions. So we wanted to talk with a professional chef and a professional chef's family about how they celebrate the holidays. And joining us now to do so is Will Gilson. He's chef and co-owner at Puritan & Company in Cambridge. Will, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
It's great to have you. And also with us is Will's dad, David Gilson. He's a farmer at Gilson's Herb Lyceum in Groton. David Gilson, welcome to you as well.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's really delightful to have you. So we're going to hear a little bit about Gilson family traditions at the holidays, but we want to hear from you as well. What food traditions do you have with your family at this time of year? You know, we just got past Christmas, but there's also, of course, Hanukkah just got past Thanksgiving,
right.
But there's also Hanukkah and Christmas and all the other holidays we celebrate at this time of year. How has your family helped shape the food you eat today? What do you crave around the holidays? What are the favorite things that you look forward to with your family around the table? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So Will and David, let me just start with you quickly. Can you describe to us what are the holidays like food-wise for the Gilsons?
Well, I think, you know, for us, over the years with the farm, it's always been sort of about the first time of the year you can actually rest, you know. I mean, everything is all about
working,
getting everything ready for the winter. And so, you know, Thanksgiving is more of a celebration of the harvest, whereas we get to Christmas and it's a little bit more around the idea of using some of what that harvest was and getting a chance to just kind of relax.
And at the same time, we have greenhouses, so we don't necessarily rest. We still have watering to do and seed ordering for the next year because the season starts really mid-February.
Oh,
so
that's right.
There's still a lot to do. But Christmas is a time for family. We shut out all the traffic outside and just enjoy family.
Are there any particular dishes or meals that are year after year favorites?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. There's only one thing that has managed to sort of transcend three generations of Gilsons, and it's always been making cookies and eating cookies, more so the latter than actually the first. For me as the chef now, this guy over here did not actually have any chops in the kitchen. And my mom was always sort of a very good home cook and had some classic recipes. But for as many years as I can remember now, I've been the one responsible for putting on either Thanksgiving or Christmas dinners. And so these traditions are actually kind of forming now more so than I think actually coming from so much of the past.
Interesting.
And he always says, Dad, when I come out there, I don't want to cook. And we say, fine.
That's a lie every time for him.
He's about 30 seconds into the kitchen and move aside.
You know, you mentioned cookies. Just the other day, we had Amy Traverso from Yankee Magazine in here, and she gave us some cookies that had actually fennel in them, and another one that had rosemary in them. I mean, I was thinking of the Herb Lyceum. They were amazing. So maybe there's something there to get more herbs and more savories in cookies.
Well, I mean, my cooking has always developed around what I was exposed to, you know, at a young age, kind of with my interest in cooking, of wanting to use the things that we were growing on the farm and incorporate that into it. And whether or not I knew what I was doing or not, it was always this inspiration of trying to take what we had, where my fingers were covered in potting soil at one point, and then the next point I was trying to take the herbs and put them inside of cookies.
Yeah. So, Will, let me ask you just quickly, because you kind of hinted at this earlier. You've got a pretty excellent example in your father, you know, in terms of a successful farming family. Mm-hmm. But but you don't have the dirt in your fingers anymore.
No. I traded the dirty jeans and the potting soil under the fingertips for flour and knife wounds a long time ago. I think that, you know, my focus of getting excited to work in the kitchen and be a part of what I do now came from not wanting to do what my dad did. I think that there was so much work ethic that both my parents had growing up that I got to see and embody and embrace. But at the same time, I really wanted to take it in my own path. And I got to see the plant grow, but I'm inherently impatient. So I like to make sure that that plant turns into something quick that someone gets to eat.
Yeah, that's why he says, Dad, give it to me now. or when's it going to be available? But looking back at William growing up, I see now there was that common thread of wanting to cook. Even when he was a child, you know how kids will bring you something that they put together, odd things, and just say, here, eat this, Mommy and Daddy. And we would, and we'd say, wow, that's pretty good. So
there was a lot of times it wasn't, though.
Well, it actually, most of the time it was. So we didn't know it at the time, but he was exposing what his gift was around the table. And so it has continued.
Yeah. Well, I've got a tweet here from Jacqueline Stevenson who says that homemade Chex party mix gets to be a real issue for me at this time of year, but it's an all-time standby. Actually, you know, so Jacqueline's tweet reminds me that there's something about holiday family foods that they're honest foods in a way, like that, because they're the stuff that we remember as a kid. And sometimes it's because, you know, our the food maybe that was available, you know, in the 70s or 80s isn't what's available today. And so, like, Chex party mix maybe isn't the highest of high art when it comes to what you can do in the kitchen, but it feels good.
Well, and I think that that's what a tradition is about. It's not necessarily being the height of cuisine. It's about what makes you happy, and it's about what brings back nostalgia. I think a lot of the food that we cook at the restaurant, you know, it tries to evoke a lot of nostalgia as well, and people around the table. But I can't remember a Thanksgiving or a Christmas where we weren't, you know, making deviled eggs because someone in the family said that was their favorite thing. I don't think that's the height of cuisine, but I think it makes everybody really happy when they have it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about holiday food and family traditions. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK with your food and family tradition. David Gilson, let me just ask you, because it's not that often that I get to talk to a farmer at this time of year, but I'm wondering, it's obviously not a great growing season right now, and you talked about how things get busy again in February. But you are growing things now in the greenhouse?
Yes, we are.
So what do you have growing there?
Well, all the different herbs we start propagating actually in October, so we have to carry them forward. We're at a time now, it's the winter solstice, and between winter solstice and the equinox, March 21st, that's the low light doesn't allow for great propagation,
right?
But we can start seeding so that when the seeds start to germinate, then it's lighter and it works. However, this year we have beets, carrots, all kinds, maybe six different varieties of each that we're still pulling out of the ground. We have them in a greenhouse, but we are still harvesting.
Hmm. And I understand that both of you, I'm jumping around here, but I want to be sure I get all these points in, that you just opened a juice bar together
in
Kendall Square?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. I basically have this small piece of kiosk area right below the Google offices in Cambridge. And I went there to talk my dad out of putting in a farm stand. And at the end of it, we ended up with a juice bar. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how you went from kiosk to juice bar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a tiny little kiosk space. Okay. And we make all the juice on the farm. And then we bring everything into the city. And we sell it right there in Kendall on Main Street.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So, Will, do you bring a lot of sort of a sense of the holidays and different types of food, or, you know, whatever, or some of the family traditions that you have into the restaurant during this time of year?
Yeah, and I think that the number one aspect of that has nothing to do with food. I think it's that we actually make sure to shut everything down. We don't have our staff work on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We make sure that everybody gets a chance to go home and be with their families and be around a table. And we get a chance in the days leading up to that to have everybody cook some of their favorite dishes and be able to kind of make it a little bit more celebratory, which maybe doesn't increase work ethic so much, but it does make for a very happy morale of the staff.
It's a balance.
Yeah. Well, my last question to both of you is, why do you think, from your experience both on the farming side of things and the chef side of things, what do you think it is about holidays and food that really they form the core of a lot of people's memories of this time of year as they get older?
Well, I think it's the, again, I'm sort of talking about nostalgia. It's about the idea of being around a table, and even if that same green bean casserole you have every year is terrible, you remember it, and it always hits a point. And I think that, you know, this time of year, it really brings people to the point where forget about the shopping, forget about buying presents. It's about everybody stopping what they're doing and having a couple of days to be with each other. None of this festivus airing of grievances.
Food always brings out the best conversations with families anyhow.
Well, that's David Gilson wrapping up this lovely little conversation about food and family and the holidays. He's farmer at Gilson's Herb Lyceum in Groton. What a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. I'm looking forward to next year's herbs as well. And Will Gilson, chef and co-owner at Puritan & Company in Cambridge. Great to have you as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's more of the show coming up in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.